What up, Whiskey Ginger fans? Welcome back to the show. If this is your first time joining us, like I always say, please tell a friend, subscribe, hit the notification bell so you know when we're posting, but we post every single Friday, baby. Also, check through the library, watch some old episodes. Sometimes people are like, you should have this dude on. I'm like, I had him on. So check it out. Peruse through the Whiskey Ginger library to keep this thing moving along smooth. I got a lot of stuff to talk about today with Dr. Drew. Because sadly, your boy got sick. I got sick. The Red Rocket got sick. I was very sad and upset about it. Had to cancel my shows this weekend, which bummed me out a lot. The fans were upset. I was even more upset. Trust me, it hurt my heart a lot to not be able to go back out and do what I love so much and see the fans. It was a bummer, man. It really, really was. But what are you going to do? This is a part of the life of 2020. We're getting through it. We're trying to be conscious, stay healthy, and I don't want to put anybody else at risk, so I couldn't travel. So I wanted to stay safe. So that was the decision that we had to make. But I'm still doing podcasts. I'm still coming into your living room or your computer or your TV or however you listen or watch the show. So I'm happy that you're here for this. I appreciate you very much. If you want to know more about me and what's going on, AndrewSantino.com has the information. That's where the Patreon link is, which we're doing one-on-one Cheeto chats. I'm getting more involved with the fans, which I love. More one-on-one stuff with the fans has been super fun. We do a Zoom every month. It's been seriously so much fun to do that Patreon. So check it out. Also helps fuel this show for the people behind the scenes that make this thing possible. That's where the Patreon helps fuel. So appreciate your love there. And if you're looking for the merch like this shirt, AndrewSantinoStore.com. They got all the merch. We got the hats. We got the rocks glasses, the hoodies, the shirts. We got it all. So go to AndrewSantinoStore.com for the merch. Go to AndrewSantino.com for the link for the Patreon. And other than that, you know, thanks for coming along for the ride. Thanks for being here. This is a good ep, so enjoy it. Whiskey Ginger is supported by Squarespace. Guys, I've talked about it before. Squarespace is incredible. Beautiful, beautiful templates that help you design a website to publish content, to sell something, to put the word out there about your brand new baby shower or your wedding. Or your divorce, whatever you want to publicize, you can do it through Squarespace. It's extremely simple. They have the ability on the website to customize to your own feel, you know, different settings. They have all sorts of stuff that make it simple for you to use. That's the most important thing. Remember, designing websites used to be a total nightmare. Now Squarespace makes it so simple to get on there and use these templates that they put into place, or you can make it from scratch on your own if you're that good. I don't got Freddy Fast Fingers like that. I need help, okay? So you can customize and everything is optimized easy right out of the box. It's so simple to use. If you're looking to design a website to sell a product or talk about something that's going on, you need to use Squarespace. Head over to squarespace.com/whiskey. We know what it is for a free trial. When you're ready to launch, use the offer code whiskey. Get 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. Go to squarespace.com. If you're looking to create a site, it's the only way to go. It's gorgeous. It's sexy. Use the promo code whiskey to get 10% off. Squarespace.com/whiskey.
In here, we pour whiskey.
You are that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy and ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers, oh hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Whiskey Ginger. My guest today is one of my favorite people on earth. I say that for all my guests, but I mean it once again today. It is Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew, thanks for being here.
It is my pleasure. This is one of my favorite podcasts. You're one of my favorite persons.
Oh, I love
which
you.
I say, which I say on every podcast I go on. I mean not.
No,
I mean,
you don't. Really my favorite. No, you don't.
Actually, I don't.
Just for
actually,
me.
I don't.
So this is your second time here on the Whiskey Ginger. Sadly, we can't be together because of what's going on. And I think I'll jump right into it. What's going on is... I have COVID-19. I got coronavirus.
Fantastic.
Sadly.
I don't know about sadly. You've done pretty well with it. Now I'm jealous.
Well, here's the thing. There's so much to unpack here, so much to talk about. But the bummer for me was I'm not one of these dudes that's like, fuck masks and, right. You know, who gives a shit. I was generally, for what it's worth, super safe or about as safe as you could be. Limited contact with people.
Yeah.
It was pretty remarkable how easily it was caught. It was caught, you know, and not to name names, but a friend of a friend. We were having beers outside watching football.
How close? How many foot distance? This is kind of interesting.
The crazy part is it was at a rectangular table. I was at the head and he was sitting down, kind of down the line, so to speak. So I would say, not to sound annoying, but five to six feet. I mean, he wasn't that close to me. But oddly enough, you know,
yeah,
we spent enough time together.
I mean, there's a lot of data now about aerosols. It's maybe further than droplets, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And if you spend any time at a distance from someone. Now, were you in the sun? Were you outdoors?
Outside, yeah.
In the sun or in the shade?
In the shade.
See, that's interesting. Theoretically, the UV would have prevented that kind of aerosolized spread. But, you know, even so, outdoors should not be a kind of environment where you'd see aerosol spread.
Yeah.
But, you know, are you sure he didn't come up and bring you a beer or something?
Well, we were talking before sitting down outside together, but we had masks on. And we were probably within a couple of feet of each other, but we were all wearing masks because we were waiting to get sat on the patio.
What kind of mask were we wearing?
N95.
Wow. Crazy.
I'm serious.
Crazy.
So the crazy part is our other friend who was with us did not get it. And the person that gave it to me, his girlfriend also did not get it.
So we're saying is you're a puss? We're saying?
I kissed him on the mouth is what happened.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go.
We did one of those Lady and the Tramp moments. We had spaghetti. And we twirled the spaghetti through our tongues. I was being generally, for what it's worth, very safe. And of course, look, seven months later into this thing,
yeah.
And I couldn't believe it. I was like, I can't believe that this is happening. And, you know,
well,
I don't know.
This is one of the intriguing things about this virus. We can't fully protect ourselves. It is highly contagious.
Yeah.
Some people have some degree of immunity. We hopefully will get to the point where we can sort of measure that, what someone's cellular immunity is from having been exposed to other coronaviruses. They say that, you know, we're causing colds before. Some people may be somewhat resistant for that. They may have other reasons they're resistant. Were you taking any of the sort of the cocktails, the Math Plus cocktails to prevent COVID, the vitamin D and vitamin C and zinc and all that stuff?
You know, a daily vitamin, but really nothing. I wasn't like upping my ante or whatever. I wasn't
There's something right there. Do you know whether the people that didn't get it were taking any of those things?
No, but that's an interesting question. I have to talk to them about that. I think I don't know. No, I don't know their habits. You know, the one friend was from New York,
right.
And you know, he was been sucking on subway rails for, you know, his whole life. So I'm sure he's fine. But it's weird to think that. You know, I was generally safe and honestly limited my contact with people that I saw and was pretty careful about who I was seeing and knew, asking them pretty blatantly about, you know, had they been traveling, had they been out? And if I did see people, it was almost exclusively outdoors on a patio or taking a walk with someone like in a neighborhood outside, you know, like didn't really do any of those indoor. I guess it's what's annoying about this whole thing. And there's a laundry list of stuff I want to go over with you.
Yeah.
It's annoying when people say, you must not have been being careful. And you're like, that is such a vague, you know, what does that really mean? I mean, people can only do so much until.
Right.
What is careful? Like,
right.
You know, I'm.
So,
I'm
so. You know. So let me address some of them. So let me go over the vitamin thing, this Math Plus program, MATH Plus.
Yeah.
It was organized out of Eastern Virginia Medical School. It includes 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C, 5,000 units of vitamin D, give or take, depending on what your doctor says, 25 milligrams of zinc. You can add quercetin, Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N. Some people take aspirin, Pepcid, thiamine, 100 to 500 milligrams. Again, talk to your doctor about that. All these things seem to modulate the immune system or sort of balance the immune system in such a way that it can fight it off a little better. Mm. And the zinc itself with something like quercetin may actually be antiviral, so that's a good thing to take. In terms of the mask phenomenon and carefulness, some of the thoughtful anti-mask physicians I know, I wear masks all the time. I have no problem with it. It doesn't hurt me, so I do it. I feel like I'm doing something. We know that droplets are the main means of transmission. It certainly catches those droplets up front. Mm-hmm. We're starting to worry more about aerosols, which get out the side or can be transmitted, you know, in a room for a longer period of time or to a greater distance. And the anti-mask thoughtful physicians I know essentially say, it's going to happen anyway, whether you wear the mask or not. Just do the distancing and leave it at that. And it's kind of interesting. You know, that's a minority opinion, but there are those out there that say, you know, we're not against masks. We're against, you know, thinking we can really stop this thing because it's so contagious.
Right. Let's not throw around the word minority, Drew. You know, let's just be a little bit more conscious. No, I think what's yeah, I guess what's interesting, and I want to talk about the elephant in the room also. Like, I love you. You know, I'm a fan, and you're a friend now, and you got criticism for kind of, how do I say it? Kind of making the virus seem like it's not going to be that big of a deal at the beginning, and you kind of, not poo-pooed it, but...
Well, I got painted as some sort of viral denier, which was not what I said. Right. What I said was, the press needs to shut up. Right. They are going to create a panic, and it's not going to be worthy of that panic. It's not going to kill 2 million people. You remember those predictions? Right. 2 million are going to die. I said, it's not going to kill 2 million people, and you all need to watch Anthony Fauci and do what he tells you to do. I said it at the end of every statement I made. I said, let him be your North Star. Do what he tells you, and that's that. And so when he said, this is not the flu, this is more contagious, it's more virulent risk populations, I absolutely adjusted my position, and I said I was wrong. I was wrong. I didn't know the brutality in the risk population because I've now dealt with a number of cases, and it's brutal. And the infectivity, which is what you and I are talking about today, is really kind of extraordinary. But I knew that the press was making a panic that would have horrible consequence, mental health, and delay in treatment of other conditions. Now we're gonna outstrip COVID with the deaths from delay in treatment and mental health and substance complications. So we're going to, well done, press, well done. You've done it now, you know, and that's what I was afraid of. I could see that coming. I thought we'll handle this. We'll handle it. Let the CDC handle it. Not people who just learned how to pronounce the name of medications,
right?
You know? And so it spiraled completely out of control.
Well, yeah. And I watched what you had said multiple times, and here was the thing. And being a man that you are and saying you change your position or you go back on something or you apologize for, this is, I think, the beauty of what I respect about someone. When we can make mistakes, we can say the wrong thing, we can think the wrong way, and all you have to do is go, hey, my bad, I'm going to change my position. Maybe I was misinformed. Maybe I was incorrect in my predictions and my thoughts and my opinions. And this is kind of the crux of what's happening in society today. It's like, it's okay to mess up. We should all just go, hey, my bad. And that should be a point of continuation for us instead of, no, you know, blame forever. You're the worst. That's your position. You know, instead of jumping on each other, I think we just need to take a step back and go, hey, let's just adjust. Let's learn. Let's grow. Let's fix it, which I'm glad you did, because I think
especially when there's at that stage of the game, no one knew what was going on. We all were sort of guessing and trying to take our best position to make things, you know, go as good as best as possible based on our judgment. I was not that far off. I didn't say come to Chinatown. I didn't, I didn't say don't. I was off. And I'm always happy to say to immediately own up where I've been wrong, apologize for it, adjust course, and let's move on with what we've learned. Otherwise, how do you learn? You just don't learn otherwise. And this virus, you know, has been very, very challenging all the way along. I also knew that the American medical system would improvise and develop treatments and vaccines. I just knew no one responds as well as we do in terms of responding to these things. And I thought, you watch, there's going to be amazing progress rapidly. And it's exactly what's happened.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, you don't have to express your opinion on it if you don't feel like it, but I think what's made me the most upset is I kept private about it. Unfortunately, I couldn't go on tour this weekend. I was supposed to go on tour this very weekend. And I was nervous. I was like, who am I going to tell? Who am I going to talk to? Because there's this stigma surrounded around getting it, which is, it's it's unfortunate because...
Well, tell me about that, because that's weird to me. I'm jealous that you're done and you're immune now. Good for you. If you'd been on a ventilator with kidney failure, I would not be so jealous. Right. But the fact that you made it through with like headaches, I am very jealous.
Well, I'll say this. I'm hoping it's over. I don't know. And, you know, from all I've read and been told, like, it can manifest. It can continue. It lingers. I'll tell you that. It's definitely something that continues that you're tired often. It's been 2 weeks for me now. So, you know, it's annoying. But there is a stigma, and it's not
That's so
fair.
Weird.
Well,
That's
because
so
because
weird.
The media has politicized it so much. That if you
so
get
therefore
it,
you're like a Trump supporter if you've had COVID.
That's what it feels like. No, seriously.
Oh my God.
It feels like if you say to somebody you got it, they just assume you must be this anti-masker, alt-right crazy person who just didn't care about the rules. Which is, you know, not the case. You know,
that's wild.
It feels that way in the community. It feels that way with friends. People are weirded out about it. They don't know how to respond to it.
I've seen people, you know, people are like, why aren't you dead? Why didn't you die? Isn't everybody die of this? No.
Right.
Nobody your age dies of it.
Well, here's the problem, I think, is the stigma beyond the media politicizing this thing.
Crazy.
There's also this shamefulness you feel of like, I let myself or my friends down. You know what I mean? And it's undue. It's put on by, I don't know, the social ghost. There's something about it that makes you feel like I've let people down or something. Like, I've done something wrong. When truth be told, I had no idea. I couldn't have known. The person that gave it to me had no idea. You know, so you're not putting each other in positions of like, who cares? But there is a weird stigma, man. And it also... The moment you test positive, I'll tell you what also makes you feel worse. The next morning, I get a phone call from LA County Health Department.
Oh, of course.
And it's this guy who can barely speak English, and he's saying, we have an emergency. We need to talk to you immediately on my voicemail. So I wake up with anxiety, and I'm like, oh, my God. And he says, I call him back. He says, you know, Mr. Santino, you've tested positive. I said, yes, I know. I've already got the results, obviously, before you did. That's how you got them. And he said, well, we have pressing emergency issues to discuss with you. So, of course, I'm thinking they know something I don't know.
Right.
You know? And shame on LA County for doing it this way, by the way.
Yes. Yes. Really interesting. Very interesting. Tell me more.
And so I said, well, what is it? You know, and I'm bracing myself like, oh, my God, is there other news? And he said, I need to know immediately who you were with and where you were. And I took a pause for a second because I thought, well, what is this for? Like, I feel a little caught off guard.
Yeah.
It's, you know, first thing in the morning. And he goes, it's a collection. We're trying to find a collection of data to route the spread of the virus. And I said, I got to be honest with you. I don't feel comfortable just doling out all this information right now. Mm-hmm. I just got a positive result. I feel very cornered. I don't feel like this is warm. I don't feel like this at all is like caring. It's kind of just like, you're another number. Tell us what happened. And, you know, I told him the limited amount of details that I needed. And I also said, and I'm also following protocol to let you know, I'm staying at home. I'm quarantining. I'm not seeing anybody else. I'm isolated. But you were just a number.
They're coming for you now, man. They're coming for you.
That's them. I know. We were just a ticker. You know what I mean? It's just a statistic. Yeah. So that makes you feel more dirty about the stigma. It makes you go, yuck, I'm just some stupid number. And in their database, it's just another idiot that got it. But you're like, I'm not some reckless moron that was, you know, out partying at Lake Havasu with college kids, sucking on, you know, people's toes and doing body shots. And it's just, it's like, you feel annoyed that also gets lumped in the same category. That's what's hard.
You're much more sensitive than I knew.
Yeah,
and
well,
it's really
also,
fascinating.
You know why? Because when you get sick, bless you.
I know these days people, you sneeze and people like look at you like with that stigma.
Right, they freak out. Well, here's the thing. I'm more sensitive and I'm being honest because I'm sad that I didn't get to go on tour and see my fans. It breaks my heart.
Yes.
And also, I will say this. When you get sick at any degree, whether it's this or the flu or pneumonia or a common cold, you begin to, you sit with yourself a long time and you think about a lot of stuff. And one of the things I started to think about was how disappointing this can be for other people as well. Like, I began to think about not just my position, but like, this debilitates people to a degree where they can't work and they lose their jobs.
Right.
It mentally really does a number on you. When you can't taste or smell anything, you get in a world of depression. I can't explain. It's weird because food. Well,
Do you think that it's that, or do you think it's a separate sort of phenomenon of the illness? Because it clearly gets into the nervous tissue.
Well,
you know?
So I've heard from multiple cases from different friends that have had it, that it a lot of people suffered pretty severe depression during it. Now, whether that's because of it itself or the phenomena of the zeitgeist of the virus, I couldn't tell you. On a personal level.
So weird. I can't get over it. I got to tell you, I cannot get over it.
It's wild.
You feel this way.
On a personal level, it's depressing because you put food in your mouth and you don't care. And you're like, right. Which made me think pretty deeply one night. I thought, thank God I'm just shoving ramen down my throat and just dealing with it.
Right.
But I thought there's got to be people who get really depressed that can't typically eat, and this suppressed their appetite, and then they can't taste, and it kind of ruins the body even more. So I kept it in my mind, eat as much as you can in terms of pack the body with nutrients.
Yeah.
And just shove it in. Just shove it in, just shove it in, just shove it in.
Yeah.
But I just imagine there's other people that suffered from it significantly differently than I did that couldn't eat. And it just was, you know, it's this harbinger of the illness where it makes everything worse, right? It's like, you know, when they say like, I'm fat because I'm sad, I'm sad because I'm fat.
Yeah.
That idea. I'm just saying like, I'm depressed because I'm sick because I'm depressed.
You know? Or some combo. Yeah, yeah.
Right. I don't know.
It really makes me think about previous periods of history where people have had illnesses where we as humans at the time thought it was because some evil spirit, you know, entered your body or something. I mean, or because you were a courtesan and the courtesans brought the illness to Venice, you know, whatever it is. The way people, it's fascinating to me that even in today's scientific society where you think people would know better, that it's the same phenomenology around stigmatization.
Yeah.
Too much.
Well, it doesn't really surprise me at the end of the day, also because, like I said, the media did a number on this thing and people automatically have chosen a quote-unquote side. I'm sure there are plenty of people that are Trump supporters that definitely believe in wearing a mask, okay? Well, and vice versa. I'm sure there's liberals that think wearing a mask is stupid. But the idea that the media was like, this is the position if you're right, this is if you're left, it was so dangerous and so stupid, and it's made us worse. And unfortunately, and I hate to say this because this sounds terrible, but every time I'd read about some idiot that was like mocking masks or downplaying the masks or even downplaying this thing in general, being like it's a hoax or it's the separation thing is stupid or whatever, A small piece of me, and I hate to say this, a small piece of me wishes I could bestow some of my virus on them. Just to go.
Here, have a piece.
Oh,
have
you
a
think
taste.
You think it's fake? Let me give you just a little number and then tell me how fake it is. It's just annoying.
Getting this gave Trump a little
Well, that's
more
the other
religion?
Thing. That's the other thing. That pissed me off, right? Like, I'm in the middle of getting this, I'm keeping it quiet. Some of my friends and family know, but they're also keeping it quiet just for privacy issues. And then he gets it. And of course, within 2 days, you know, he's like, I'm fine. I'm totally fine. It's incredible how easy it is to beat. And once again, he's sending this message of it's not a big deal. Who cares? And look, even if you feel that way, as the president, you just don't do that. You don't have to create panic. But you don't just poo-poo it away because millions of people got very sick, right?
Yeah.
And they had to deal with it without having...
What would the,
you know.
Yeah, I agree with you. What would the right tone have been? How do you get that balance to right? Because you don't want him. Right. Well, you don't want him saying, "Oh my God, this was horrible."
Right.
Hide your kids. You want him saying something like, "Hey, this is a terrible illness. Do what you can. Protect yourself. Thankfully, I've had a pretty decent course of it, but I felt horrible. It could have gone bad, but it didn't. Thank God."
Here's what I wanted him to say, Drew. I wanted him to say, "I'm lucky."
Yeah.
That I have 12 of the greatest doctors on earth. And the immediacy of getting airlifted to probably one of the best medical facilities on earth with all of the most advanced medicines on earth. Like, make it clear that your advantage is obvious, that you have the ability to have those things at your disposal. When you say something like, "You're going to be fine. We're so good at beating this thing." He's forgetting, because he doesn't know these people, but you're talking to someone who lives in a 2-bedroom house with 5 people, and they're all very sick, and they range in ages because that's their family, and they can't afford and they can't afford great meals, so they probably eat bad high fats, high cholesterol foods, right? Yep. They probably don't have really good access to medication, so I'm sure they're not going to Whole Foods to buy vitamin 365. You know, like,
that's right.
I just think you have to present this as the president or as a great leader and go, "Hey, I'm lucky that I have all these things at my disposal, and thank God I did. Many people aren't so lucky, and I want to let you know, don't lose your mind and panic over this, but just know this: the range of how this affects people is extraordinarily different." So,
right, that's right.
Also, I wish it was communicated, Drew, just because you get sick from this, like different levels of sick, that doesn't make you more of less of a tough guy. Like, that pisses me off. Well, that's what makes me mad is, like, a friend of a friend got it, and I don't want to say who, and he was very quiet about it, and he got very, very sick, okay? Like, he was in the hospital for a long time. A friend of a friend said, "How is he doing?" on this text stream, and he said, he's good. He's on the other side of it. He's tough as nails." And I was like, that's such an annoying, it's not how tough you are. Like, this, it's not like I'm a strong dude. I'm going to beat it down. It's like, no, it affects people's immune system differently. I don't think it has anything to do with how tough of a guy you are, how much of a man you are. That pisses me off.
I guess you can say somebody walks through it without being disturbed by it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
There's such a thing as walking through an illness unperturbed.
Mm-hmm.
That's not about being a strong or a weak guy. That's just like, good, I'm glad you made it through without it being depressing, for instance, or what is scary, all these other things it can easily be. The one thing Trump did I kind of like, he sort of missed the note again, was saying, "I had really aggressive care. I want to make that standard of care for everybody," which is pretty, not that hard to do.
Right.
And already dexamethasone is becoming standard. Remdesivir is becoming standard. He's going to get the Regeneron out there, which is great. And there's lots of other things we can do. I mean, Regeneron is not that different than giving convalescent plasma. And there's a couple other Regeneron products out there that look good. There's a Lilly product, the vaccine. The point is, good, let's make it all
totally.
People have to understand, once you get in the hospital, they're going to give you the best care, period. The problem is getting everybody in the hospital that should be in the hospital. And that we can argue about how we maybe not done such a great job with that. But getting people, once you're in, you're going to get the standard of care. The standard is the standard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty darn good. And that's why the death rate is so low right now.
Right. I think that, you know, my beef with him getting it while I got it, it just intensified. It intensified my feelings about it.
Another guy with sort of orange hair getting it. I mean, that's
true.
Takes the
dare put us in the same category. All right.
It takes the thunder away from your case.
I know. Well, that was like one time I was getting on a flight. This just reminded me. I was getting on a flight to New York, and I was in Indianapolis on a little puddle jumper. You know, those little tiny, shitty little, like, one-seat, two-seat planes. And it was a horrific storm. And they had delayed the flight like 3 times. And I mean, horrible outside. And I'm like, I'm just going to get a hotel. I can go to New York tomorrow. And at this point in the night, you know, they're like, "We're still going to try to make the flight. It's good. The weather's going to calm down in 30 minutes. So I said, "Fine, I'll have a beer. The weather will calm down."
Yeah.
I have a beer. The weather seems to be the same. But they get on the PA and they're like, "All right, we're going to board." So I get on this flight. And it is so bad. Drew, I've been on a million flights. On the takeoff, we were like banking sideways to get up in the air like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And everyone's holding on to the seat, you know, the arms, and everyone's doing like, oh, shit, you know? And there's like a rumbling beginning. You can hear people's voices going, oh, that thing.
Yes, yes. And I think everyone's got one of those stories. Well, I've got
and,
one.
And I've got a million of them, but I look over to my right, and I hadn't noticed prior when we were boarding or whatever. I just was on my phone, probably not paying attention. And sure enough, it's oh my God, what's wrong with me? The coach used to coach Indiana basketball who threw the chair, Bobby Knight.
Oh my God.
Bobby Knight is sitting reading a paper. And it,
oh my God.
And Drew, it was as if nothing was happening. I mean, he was thumbing through the paper and it made me go, well, God's not going to kill me with Bobby Knight on this flight. Because if we go down, I'm not even going to make the pay. It'll be Bob Knight died and five other morons. So
he's too mean. He's too mean to get taken out.
He stole my thunder. So same thing. When Trump announced he had COVID, I was like, no, this is my time. I have COVID. You don't get to do this. So I was
bring
annoyed.
The stigma.
Yeah.
So I got to tell you our story. So Carolla and I used to go around the country giving lectures and stuff at colleges and things. Mm-hmm. And we were on again Cincinnati getting on a little, you know, little two engine prop, you know, prop jet, whatever, prop propeller plane.
Yeah.
And it was delayed. And we were looking out the window and the guy, somebody gets up on top of the plane, bangs on the top of the engine, on top of the propeller engine. And then tries to fire it up again, and black smoke pours out of this thing. And Adam goes, "I don't know any serious engine issues that are solved by banging on it." But anyway, they boarded us. We get on the plane. It's one of those situations like you're describing, where it's, you know, incredible as a storm, and we're bouncing around. And all of a sudden, Carolla starts poking me in the ribs, and he's saying, "Roberto Clemente, Roberto Clemente." And I look up, and the guy in front of us is reading a paper. The headline is, "Roberto Clemente struck down in his prime in a plane crash." You know, and he just poking me, "Roberto Clemente."
Jesus.
So that was our story.
Yeah, but you ended up being okay, right?
Ended up fine. It all was good.
Fine. That's the thing.
Now I'm not afraid of anything in the air. I used to have fear of flying. Now I'm afraid. Now I've got, it's resiliency, exposure therapy.
Yeah, that's right. I lived through so many of it. I stopped caring at some point.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just, so the Trump thing was just, the timing of it was insane, that he gets it and he gets in and out and he's back on his feet and he's making it seem like it's not that big of a deal. Meanwhile, I'm still pretty sick in the midst of him getting in and out. And I was annoyed that I was like, this is just, it's just the height of his unawareness, I believe. You know, he could have just said, "I'm lucky to have all this care, and it's going to affect people differently." That's all. I do think that should be pushed out to the world. Is like,
or how about he just have something like Fauci? I still say Fauci is your best source of information.
Of course, he should be.
People hate him because he's so conservative, but I've been standing behind that guy since the AIDS epidemic. I've been following his direction. I've been an admirer of his. I know people that know him. I believe, I can't really reconstruct my memory well enough, but I think I brought him down here to speak to my residents. At least that's my memory. You know, and the guy just, he's right. He's just right. He may be conservative, he may be excessive, whatever, but he'll get us through this reasonably. Yeah. He just does. He knows what he's doing.
I'd rather listen to someone like that who's trying to give good balance to the situation. And it's got to be impossible to be in his position anyway. I mean, what a difficult place to be. And honestly, even Fauci will tell you, there's so much uncertainty in this. And that's not to create scare. It's just to we just don't know yet. There's so much
left.
Dude,
you're living embodiment of that, right? We're trying to figure out how you caught it.
Right. It's insane.
Right. Maybe it wasn't even him. Maybe it was some other exposure you had.
Yeah, the irony would be staggering because he did, you know, tell me the other, you know, he told me the 3 days later that he had it. But honestly, it could have been. My Amazon guy who comes all the time, he never wears a mask. And he leaves stuff on the porch, and you know, I don't really see him. You know, I wave to him sometimes, but this morning he had dropped off dog food, and I was out front by the car, and he left it at the end of the driveway, and I said from a distance, I go, "Hey man, are you not scared of not wearing a mask and going up to people's houses and all that stuff?" And he goes, "You get it." And then he got in his truck and drove away.
Well, that's not an irrational position.
Well, that was his way of thinking.
I don't like but here's the that is not irrational. The problem is if you get it before you know it, how many people are you going to give it to?
Okay, see, that's the problem.
That's the problem.
Right,
yeah,
that's the problem.
That is the problem.
To me, that's the thing, is like you're forgetting about, I hate to say the word endangering, but you're forgetting about who you're putting in a vulnerable position without your knowledge and their knowledge. Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, I got the same problem with, again, I still work with Corolla, right? We do a podcast regularly.
Yep.
He goes out on the weekends, doesn't wear a mask, sits in clubs, does three shows, doesn't wear a mask. A lot of the states where he goes, people aren't wearing masks. He comes back 2 days later, I'm doing a podcast with him.
Oof.
You know, you know, I've.
But that being
here
said,
here we go. We'll see.
You know, I don't know. You know, I think. I don't know.
The stigma thing, I can't get my head around the stigma, though. It's so fascinating to me that you feel that. But it makes sense to me, but it's so irrational, I can't get my head around
it. Well, let's put it this way. I'll say this. I know probably 20 people that have had it. About five of them have talked about it publicly. So what does that what does that say to you? In fact, a good friend of mine told me another friend of ours today who is massively famous, who has a very squeaky clean image of, you know, kind of always doing the right thing. And he got it. And of course, he doesn't want to say anything, not for any other reason. He got it completely. He has no idea. But he doesn't want to say anything because he is afraid it'll dilute this image of, you know, him being this kind of go by the book guy or whatever.
Let's explore this the other side of this, which is, are you going to keep wearing a mask just to signal? You don't need to once 2 weeks have gone by.
You know, I'm gonna wear a mask when this is over. I guess because I don't care, because it doesn't do me any. Like, I got one of those Bobby's girlfriend Kalila, who is a lifesaver, who gave me so much great stuff to take. But gave me one of those blood oxygenator things or whatever.
Oh, yeah, good. That's good to have, yeah.
So I've been measuring that every day, and it's been good. So I do wear the mask, and I've tried it with the mask, and it's the same number. So I was like, it's not a harm to me if it makes other people...
Oh, no.
If it makes other people feel good in public...
So you're doing you're doing it to reduce other people's anxiety, and it's kind of a signal. You're signaling cooperation, that kind of thing. It's fine.
In here, we pour whisk.
Whisk, Ginge fans, I know you like to have a couple of sips of the sauce, just like the Red Rocket. Let me tell you something. The next day, when you wake up feeling blah, you need to fix that. DHM Detox is the vitamin for people who like to enjoy alcohol. Time to be smart and responsible while you're drinking your booze, okay? Whether you hate that next day feeling or you just want to enjoy a few drinks and you want to feel better, DHM Detox is the go-to drinking buddy you need along for the ride. Their company's built on the phrase, no days wasted, and that's the truth. They use science and a blend of antioxidants and vitamins to help boost your body's natural response to alcohol and help break down the toxins. That's the biggest thing. People think they're dehydrated. You might be dehydrated, but also there's toxins in your blood. Take two capsules after your first couple of drinks. It goes to work. Double up and take another two capsules if you're feeling like you're having a big night out. All right, if the boss is taking you to Chili's to promote you, you know, and you want to have a couple of boots down the throat, do yourself a favor and double up. They come in convenient packets to share with friends and family. Easy on the go. Two tiny little pills, or you can take four tiny little pills. Make yourself feel better the next day. Don't feel blech the next morning, all right? Help break down the toxins and get some vitamins in your bloodstream. It's a risk-free purchase, so if you're not satisfied after taking the product, email them. They're going to give you your money back. You have nothing to lose, okay? It's that easy. It's a no-brainer. Try it out at the very least. Plus, it's free shipping in the U.S., so they're going to give it to you free. They'll take it back for free if you don't like it. We have 20% off your first order. Just head over to nodayswasted.co/whiskey. Use the promo code whiskey at the checkout, and you're going to get 20% off your first order. That's nodayswasted.co/whiskey. Remember to use that promo code whiskey.
Ginger. I like gingers.
Hey, I got to talk. You got to get Bobby to talk to me.
Okay.
I predicted that little relapse he had, and he's just been avoiding me ever since.
Well, I think we all did, sadly. I think that was the problem, is we kind of saw that coming. But, you know, it's hard.
Well,
he
knows what to do. He knows what to do. That's the thing about Bobby. He knows what to do, and I know what he needs to do, so I can give him shit about that.
And in fact, you know, we haven't been shooting together. I've been shooting at a distance, and for a while we were just joking with the fans or saying, I was out of town, and then it was, you know, we just didn't talk about it. And now I'm finally saying I'd like to come out and talk about it because I didn't want to talk about it truly at the beginning because I was like, I don't know how I feel about it. I was angry. I was upset. I was sad. I was bothered. I was frustrated. So like all these emotions, I was like, I'm just going to wait and talk about it when I feel like it. And when you and I texted, I was like, there's no better person to chat about it. I also, let's get into something more interesting. There is a point of boredom that sets in, right? And
right. That's what I want. Keep going. Well, you were going to go down a path I was going to go down
you,
now. Go
can,
ahead.
Can you jerk off, Drew? Should I jerk off with this? Is that
wasn't exactly where I was going. but now that you mention it, yeah, enjoy yourself.
Well, really, truly.
Get the endorphins going.
I was afraid.
Don't expose anybody to your fluids,
no,
but get those endorphins
afraid,
going.
I was afraid. I throw them at my neighbor, Carl, actually.
You needed your chi? You wanted as much chi as possible?
Well, I was like, is it stupid to masturbate if I'm this deep in it? Like, should I just, like,
is
not?
Is it ever? I mean, that's a question for the ages.
But honestly, when you're sick.
Is it stupid to masturbate?
How bad of an idea is it for me to jerk off when I'm sick? Truly. Because I did. I do.
You never had a fever with this thing, did you?
No, I didn't. No.
I think if you're into a febrile illness, a full flu syndrome, I think all things being equal, maybe just focus on taking fluids and nutrition and distract yourself other ways.
Okay. But now that I'm in the boredom stage.
Now go ahead. Because here's the deal. Living with COVID is like being a drug addict. Somebody said that to me today and I thought, oh, that is so true. Not having COVID, but the COVID era, you isolate, you're a little ashamed, you feel powerless, you're not connecting to people. You just all these things that addicts do, you're just doing that automatically.
Wow.
And then people are reaching for alcohol. That's what they're doing right away. And so we're seeing tons of this now. But I think framing it as, this is how addicts live, which is you're sort of not reaching out, you're not connecting, you're not asking for help, you're powerless, you can't regulate, you can't find meaning, you can't engage, blah, 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 blah. And that's this thing, man. That's the world we live in now, which is why we're seeing all the substances go way high
right
now.
So, of course, we're on Whiskey Ginger and I'm not having a drink because I'm not, you know, I'm trying to take care of my body, but we had a report that was given to us from one of our alcohol sponsors, a 416% increase in the first quarter of COVID.
Yeah. I did something sales. I've never done in my life last night. I had a bourbon, a small amount, but it was a Wednesday night. And I was like, meh, well, I've never done that
you
in my whole life.
Boy.
Had a weeknight.
You're a bad boy.
It was just
on
weird.
A
I was
school
thinking,
night, Drew? You bad
and
boy.
And my son said, what are you doing? And I go, I don't know. he goes, no judgment. No judgment.
Yeah.
Well, I was like, I don't know. I
do that pretty frequently. There's definitely no judgment on my side. I love to have a couple of fingers. But I also, I'll say this. So when my taste and my smell came back, this is something very interesting to note. Certain things that I used to like to eat or drink, they don't taste as good anymore, and it's crazy.
Yeah, that will continue to kind of morph, I bet, over the next 6 weeks or so.
I hope, because...
We'll see where that ends up. Let's see where that ends up.
Well, because it's strange.
You still have sinus? You still full sinus-wise?
I'm pretty clear. I have a little bit of congestion, but it's... But to be honest with you, this happens to me all year long. Like, I just will sometimes get sinus congestion, and it'll go away in 3 days, and then I'll have it in a month. But for the most part, I mean, my breathing is not obstructed, I guess, if that's the, you know,
right.
That's the question.
And so this thing has been not that hard for you. It's been pretty okay.
Yeah,
and you don't seem to be heading. Thank God you've got a little bit of the long hauler stuff where you're fatigued and all this, but just a little bit that should go away. And, hopefully you'll just be immune and that'll be it.
Yeah.
That will be the net result of all this,
I hope you feel
a little ashamed of yourself
I do.
For having caught this virus that you have no control over.
I know, it's crazy.
It's amazing.
Well, it's also, you know, and it makes you do weird things, Drew. I mean, I started sleeping. I would tuck my penis into my butt when I would sleep, and that's just how I got to sleep because it was a calming effect, and I blame
so
it on the
on.
Virus.
Let's
keep moving forward. Let's go right past that.
I don't know. I think that's worthy of a little bit of examination. You understand? I come from your mom's house, right?
Yes.
The Seguras.
I know.
And what their question would be, your penis and not your balls?
Yeah, no, well,
I'm
no,
confused.
No, because I'm able, my balls are long enough. I put them on top of my penis. I can rope them around. So,
right.
Yeah.
And you just put the one in, not the other? They left the others behind?
No, yeah, in fact, my balls are just still out in front. I just leave them out in front. So it looks like I have balls with no penis. It's
so it's like an elephant scratching its tush or
mm-hmm,
something.
Mm-hmm.
Just, yeah, it's nice.
It's an elephant scratching its underbelly. Yeah. No, hasn't made me do anything absurd, but it has as you know, we've talked, I have not anger issues, but I get very hot very fast. And it's
how is that not anger issues?
I have anger issues. And okay. I found that I get angry when I'm powerless, and this makes
oh,
you.
Oh yeah, sure.
I've gotten so sure. So. I take these long walks at night. I go for about three to 5 miles because I used to run every other day. So to supplement my running, my lack of being outside, I'll take about 3 to 5 mile walks, and during the walk, sometimes I'll get really, really angry, and it's the walk is supposed to calm me down, but I keep thinking about how I have zero control over this. It's very frustrating.
Is this since contracting the illness or as a result of all we're living with here?
Since contracting. Because before that, I would go...
I'm going to bet that's a virus. I'm going to bet that's more the virus. Because I like, for instance, the presidential debate, Trump was viremic at that point. Like he was already infected. And that irritability and hostility and stuff, that may have been related to the virus. Not wholly, but
wow.
I'm seeing irritability as part of this syndrome.
Well,
some people.
How much neurological effect do you think it has?
Profound. Profound. I think some of the long hauler stuff is all the neuroinfectivity stuff. And we got to figure out how to... There's evidence that it's a persistent inflammatory cytokine thing, and I'm involved with some people who are doing research on trying to suppress that. But I think fundamentally there's a neuro component to this. And I, you know, back in the day, I used to treat a lot of remember chronic Epstein-Barr, remember that whole thing?
Yeah.
So I saw that come on. I saw when that all started in the psychiatric hospital I was working in, and there was this really very interesting phenomenon that happened where everybody with depression was being treated as though they had a chronic virus because a few people had noticed that certain viruses were creating these chronic fatigue syndromes that were associated with depression. So they went overboard with it, and then they couldn't figure out which was which. It was really a mess. And so that whole thing of chronic Epstein-Barr went away, then it became chronic fatigue, then it became fibromyalgia. And the reality is fibromyalgia is the proper construct of this, and that can include post-viral syndrome. Some people do have that. And COVID is highly prone to a post-viral syndrome. And these long haulers are really quite miserable.
Wow. Well, what do you think? You think after I've passed this through, and do you think it's going to have long-term effects? Like, because they're still curious about it, right? You don't think so?
No, I think you're going to be fine. I think, interestingly, I will tell you that one of the things they were noticing is that severity of initial illness was not necessarily what was the correlate with being a long hauler. And in other words, all the long haulers had not been hospitalized, for instance. But all the ones I've seen and heard about were sicker than you've been. So and by the way, not resolving the way you're resolving, especially not resolving like the taste and smell stuff so quickly. So you're resolving right on schedule. You're doing fine.
Huh. When you say the long haulers, you mean people that got progressively sicker and sicker and sicker as time went on?
Not sicker and sicker, but 3 months later aren't well. And usually the symptoms, it's sleep disturbances, muscle aches, body aches, maybe fevers, headaches, cognitive difficulty seems to be very prominent. Fatigue, of course, very prominent. And it's sort of protein. It's all over the place. Lots of different, and some of it quite severe. Some of it almost like a persistent pneumonia I've seen. I'm not even sure what to call that case I've seen, almost like it never resolved. Very, very strange stuff. But an unusual virus.
But you're saying typically those people, that shows up pretty fast right away, a lot of those symptoms?
Yeah, you know, you don't have that feel. You don't have that flavor.
Mm.
You're going to be fine.
No, that's...
You're going to be ashamed of yourself, but fine.
I got to tell you, it does suck. And it sits with you in a weird way because you think, could I have just been, you know, why didn't I just not go hang out? And then you think, well, I hung out outside. Like, I thought that was okay. You go through this list in your head over You know, was it foolish? And honestly, not that this is the right way to say it, but I would have rather caught it from a more foolish way of being indignant about
the
it.
Way, or, the way I think know, about careless. It, if yeah, I get you. If I were to get it now, I would be thinking, after all this effort, now I get it?
Right.
Why didn't I just get it? Why didn't I just go get it 3-6 months ago?
That's how I felt.
Be done with it.
That's how I felt.
Yeah,
I
get that 100%. I 100% understand that feeling because now I'm like, oh, man, after all this effort, I better not get it. But if I do, I should have gotten it with Santino.
Right, right, right. Right, because there's other times when I think at the beginning of this, I mean, I was in Philadelphia doing my last 5 shows that I've done this year, and maybe until God knows, my last weekend run was in Philly, and it was just kind of happening. It was in March still, and the rumblings were getting real, but it wasn't full on, and that was our last show. And I remember how many people I took photos with in the beginning, because it was early on in March, and nothing had been locked down yet. In fact, I got on a plane to Chicago the very next week, and that's when Lightfoot, that's when they closed the city down. When I was in Chicago, I was like, holy shit, this out of nowhere. And we had to cancel my Chicago shows. And that's why Philly was the end of the run. And I thought, I saw so many people in Philly, I could have easily got it then. I mean,
hey, I was in South Carolina and I was speaking to a group of 300 people, maybe 400. And it all seemed, there were no cases in maybe 3 or 6 or 8 in South Carolina at that point. And it wasn't clear. The infectivity wasn't clear. That's the part that if I'd been aware of, I would have been less cavalier.
Right.
I would have been a little more worried that this could rip through a place and before we knew it, catch everybody. But again, I'm curious. It'd be really interesting. Did you eventually call the? Because I'm curious if we're ever going to find out where you actually caught this thing. Have you now reported to the county your contacts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I gave them all the information that they needed, and the gentleman that told me. My friend of a friend who was the one that gave it to me.
We think.
As far as we know, right. He felt really bad. And
did he give it to anybody else?
No.
Did you give it to anybody else?
No. I mean, not that, that's interesting. that you hope that you know, you know what I mean?
And your wife, no?
No, she does have it.
Oh, she does have it. That's right. And how is she done with it?
You know, it's kind of the same. It's just kind of like lingering and annoying, and it just doesn't. Yeah. It just kind of takes a long time to like trudge through
go
this.
Away.
Yeah, it feels. I'll tell you what. Like I put up Halloween decorations the other day, because I was feeling up for it. I got on the roof, and then when I was done, I was exhausted, and I mean more than I would when I usually do labor around the house. And then today I washed the car. Because I'm trying to like slowly get myself to get back into doing certain physical activity. Because sitting around, I have terrible FOMO. I mean, I have restless leg syndrome. I don't like sitting around, even when I'm sick, which is pathetic. That's what my mom is always like. You're the worst at being sick because I'm so antsy. I'm like, oh, get it. Let's go. Get this over with. So I washed the car. And even then, I was more tired than I usually am. That's kind of how it feels. More tired than
restless leg. Have we ever talked about that?
No, but I have it. It's terrible.
That's good times. You take anything for it?
No, and I'm sure you're going to tell me that I should, but I just don't.
Well, I mean, you only should if it's either super painful or you can't sleep.
I can't sleep because I can't turn my mind off, and those are obviously interconnected, but I can't sleep because at the end of the night, I'm thinking about 1,000 things about work, about either the podcast or touring or comedy or what I want to do or... You know, there's a million things on the head, so I can't turn off. I take melatonin now, which I got to tell you, because I don't like to take stuff. When we talked on the phone, I told you, I don't like to take even Advil or Tylenol. Whenever I got a, you know, upset stomach or my head, I kind of just I drink a lot of water and I just do a little bit of exercise and usually I kind of feel better. But
I'm all for that.
But I've slowly but surely started to take melatonin because I got to tell you, for people that don't like taking NyQuil or whatever, it makes me feel so much better in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, I take NyQuil. I wake up the next day. I feel like I was on a bender for a month. You know what I mean? I feel like shit.
Now, melatonin's a funny drug. Melatonin puts me to sleep like better than a sleeping medication. It's crazy how well it puts me to sleep. But I wake up 5 hours later. Boom.
Oh, you do?
That's the problem. And then if I take another one, I feel bad in the morning. So it's kind of a has a double-edged sword for me.
Drew, do you wake up in your age, and you're still a young man, but you're
how dare you?
You're a little bit more experienced than I am.
More experienced.
Yes.
Nice.
You I mean, although you look younger than me, but that's just because God blessed you. And do you wake up to pee in the middle of the night?
Not generally. Remember, I don't have a prostate. I have prostate cancer.
Oh, that's
so that was
right.
All taken
yeah.
Out.
So what? So what do you pee once every day? Twice a day? I mean, do you just
No. It's a normal intervals, but I don't get that pressure at night. Don't really get that.
So that's why it's good to get prostate cancer. Then you don't have to piss in the middle of the night, I guess.
That's right. Huh. See how that works?
That's a good.
You certainly don't have to worry about getting your prostate reamed out and all the stuff that men do when they get older and they get what's called benign prostatic hypertrophy. And I've avoided all that.
Nice.
With one simple giant operation.
I wake up in the middle of the night to pee, and I've noticed I do it pretty regularly. It's also because I've been drinking.
There's medicine for that too.
Well, I've been drinking so much water now because of this. Like I've been chugging water every day. And now I've been waking up to pee sometimes twice at night, which sucks because I've been drinking so much fluid.
Yeah.
But my regular scheduled pee, you're going to love this. Is at 5:30. It's at 5:30. My body clock is insane. I don't sleep with an alarm. Yeah. Even if I have to wake up at 6 a.m., I don't set an alarm. My body just knows. But my regularly scheduled pee is at 5:30 in the morning. And I got up 2 days ago, and I was feeling really loopy, just groggy. And I went into the bathroom, and I decided for some reason to sit out because I was just tired. And I was like, I'm going to sit to piss. Because I'm tired. I don't want to piss all over the floor. And I sat, and the seat was obviously up because I'm in that room. There is no woman in that room. It's just me. And I fell into the toilet, and I laughed for maybe 10 minutes straight. I couldn't. It was the most joyous I've felt during this pandemic because I was like, it's just a sign of the times. Like, everything fucking sucks. Yeah. What? Now my asshole is inside of the toilet bowl. I mean, it just, it made me feel human and okay again. I was like,
I like it.
The universe still has a sense of humor. Yeah, I went right into, I don't know if you've ever done that, but I went inside the bowl.
I learned to put the toilet seat down for my wife when we shared a toilet at night. When pregnant with triplets, she fell into the toilet and I had to, with great difficulty, pull her out. So that was a bottom, as we say.
That was my bottom. But I felt good. I got to tell you, it was the first time I had laughed at myself since this whole thing. Because that's the other thing. Comedy was so annoying to me. Nothing was funny. I was just agitated the whole time. And
well, let's talk about that for a second. Because it feels like we live in a time when, and this is a major problem, where nothing is funny.
Yeah.
You know, we've lost track of funny and everything's serious and you can't kid about anything.
Right.
You can't. I mean, isn't the job of comedians right now to take on and to show us,
totally,
you know, ways we perhaps haven't thought about before? Now, through the last 50 years since Lenny Bruce, the job of comedy was to take on the man.
Yeah.
But a lot of comedians kind of are the man now. So you need to take on the mob, don't you think?
I mean,
the mob is the thing that needs to be kind of examined.
Well, that's what's been going on. I feel like a lot of comics are, you know, myself included, you know, prior to this whole thing, like you were clapping back at everyone because there was so much chaos and you had to make fun of how ridiculous we were becoming. I mean, we were taking ourselves to a degree of such insane rhetoric of like, just, we wanted to subcategorize and subclass. There's a bit I used to do on stage about how, like, I can be in support of the LGBTQ community, but I also think it's dangerous to continue to subcategorize people. Like, it's just another category you're in. Like, oh, you're an L, you're a G, oh, you're a T, or you're a Q, or you're an I, you're an A. This continuation of, like, division feels less progressive than I think people would want it to be.
It feels illiberal.
Yes, it goes against,
right? Which is,
it's like, did you see in Seattle or Portland or wherever they had, you know, somewhere up there, there was a park and a bunch of white people were like, this is for people of color only. They were guarding the park, but it was a bunch of whites guarding the park. It's like, who are you to say that? It was such an insane idea. It was like, no non-people of color are allowed in this park. And they were the gatekeepers of it. And you're like, do you see how insane this is? That you, like, it just, we've gone so far because I think people that care, they want to show that they care, But sometimes they're misinformed, they're ill-informed, they're uninformed, and the way that they show care is incorrect, and it does more damage than good. I think it's happening across the board on a constant basis. I think that we're doing it constantly. You know?
We need some common principles. We need a moral compass. We need a spiritual element in our conversations. We're just cut loose. We're just adrift.
Yeah.
And it's like we're animals, you know, chewing on our paws.
I know. And this has become the new, you know, I can talk to you about this because it's quite personal to our community. And people are leaving California in droves for a multitude of reasons, both political and personal.
Like crazy. They're following Rogan down to Austin, a lot of our friends.
Yep.
And here's the thing. A well-meaning New York Times reporter was interviewing our governor, Governor Newsom, and she said, you know, for the first time, I'm really hearing lots of people, successful people, leaving California. And Newsom goes, well, I want to tell you something the former governor, Jerry Brown, said. He said, where are you going to go? And she goes, where are you going to go? They're going. What do you mean? He goes, I don't know, but that's what he said. Anyway, I know a family from California, made a lot of money. They went to Salt Lake City, put their son in private school. They're doing great. It's like, yeah, they left.
Yeah.
You're telling the story. We're trying to get you to listen and respond to. It really is crazy what's happening.
Well,
I don't know. I get a feeling. There'll be a time when we can hang on to California, and it will be good, and then we'll grow back. But I just don't know how far down the poop chute we're gonna have to go before we get there.
How far down the number line do we go until this thing bounces back? You know, Chappelle had a great bit when Obama became president. I think he did it on SNL maybe, but he was talking about how he's been a liberal his whole life. And then Obama gets to become president and they're going to raise taxes. And he's like, I just got this money. Like, it feels like I feel that way when people are, I have no intention on leaving California. In fact, if I did, it certainly wouldn't be to move to Austin because that's not my place. It's not for me. But I know all those guys are going down there and I wish everyone well. But like, I would probably go back to Chicago or go to Colorado. I've said that because those are family is there to us. So
those are great. Also, there's so many great places in this country to live. That's the good news. Right. There's so many great places.
And I have no intention on leaving. I just think it is funny, though, even if I wanted to leave, we just got into this other house. So I'm like,
you moved?
Yes.
From when I saw you?
No. From there. I'm at that house. But I'm like, I can't leave. I just got that house just a year ago. It's like, you know, what am I going to do? So.
I know.
There's nowhere for me to go.
I think that's why Bert Kreischer is staying.
Exactly. Well, he's staying because his problems will follow him anyway. So it's not, where can he run? No, I feel like.
And the females in his house will kill him.
Wherever you go, there you are. That old cliche phrase. But it's like.
That's right.
You're going to be there no matter what. So enjoy it, I guess. We'll figure it out. I don't think I feel any more safe or not safe here than I would anywhere else. And also, you know, maybe I'm holding on to find out what happens with the business and what happens here in LA, you know?
Yeah, that's sort of my thing. We're so entrenched here and entangled. I would love to leave. I'd love to go to Nashville or North Carolina. There's so many great, New York City. I moved to New York even. But we're too entangled here.
Entangled.
So I'm going to have to... Hang on and see where it goes.
Yeah, me too. And
it's gonna be rough.
In the meantime, I'm gonna hopefully get through this. I'm gonna take your well wishes to say that I'm gonna be okay. Of course, I'm hoping
you're gonna be fine. You could take some thiamine. You could take some vitamin C. Wouldn't hurt.
Okay.
You know what? I'd say let me think of other easy things for you.
Well, Rogan called me. We had a conversation, and he said. He goes, are you taking vitamin D? I said, yes. And
vitamin D.
When I said I'm sitting in the sun, I'm outside every day doing something.
No, you need a supplement. You need a supplement.
I am.
It's different than
I am. And he says, well, you know, you're pale ass. You know, you probably could use it. And I said, I said at the time, I go, yeah, well, you know. And then when I hung up, I thought, I should have informed him on the little piece of knowledge I learned recently that redheads have 125% more vitamin D in their blood than normal humans.
Because the sun gets right through to convert your
that's right.
25 hydroxy to 125 hydroxy vitamin D.
That's right, dude.
And it's actually when you have darker skin that it's more problematic for the sunlight to get through.
Yep.
But
listen up, Joe Rogan. I got tons of fucking vitamin D, pal. All right? I am good. I'm a solar panel. I am a solar panel for vitamin D.
Why have I not been on the Rogan podcast? I'm such a fan of his podcast. It's mystifying.
Well, now you need to go to Austin. You got to go now.
I would get on a plane tomorrow and go to talk to him. I just am fascinated by what he's doing, and he's just such an amazing job with his podcast.
Yes,
he's acquired a lot of wisdom and knowledge from the people he's interviewed.
Well, that's what I think. And you know, look, and all these Spotify employees are mad at him about that. So that's the other thing. It's like, the idea that a bunch of employees think that they want censorship of something they have nothing to do with. It's like, you're just a worker bee, dude. This is a money play. This is a corporation spending hundreds of millions of dollars on a library of something that's been built for years. And the best part about Joe's show, to me always was, before I even became a friend of his and did the show, was he had people on that I didn't agree with or like. That was
sure.
It was refreshing to see somebody on there who I didn't agree with or I didn't enjoy.
Yes.
And
absolutely. You know, the more challenging, the better, right?
Right. To think that, you know, you should be harboring only things that you always agree with and that are always on your side. It's again a symptom of the echo chamber is ruining our communication process because we're not learning from people that think differently than us. We just want to hear exactly what we know. And then we're like, no, you shut up. I don't like you because you don't agree with what I agree with. It's the detriment to society completely, you know?
100%.
You should hear other opinions, you know?
We've had the death of math. People don't know how to assess probabilities anymore. We've had the death of discourse. We've had the death of rationality. I mean, it's really all the strengths that we have as human beings have been sort of shut down.
Right.
It's time to bring, you know, Christina P. and I have the rational revolution.
Yes.
We're going to have a rational revolution.
Yeah, I hope it works. You guys will be the heads of it all. And
we will.
Dude, I thank you for joining me.
I'm going to send you our propaganda. I'm going to send you our, maybe you'll share it on this webcast.
Well, I want you to send me a detailed list. Give me a list of exactly that cocktail that you say that could help, the pre-cocktail, the
Math Plus. It's called Math Plus.
Yeah, send that out.
Yeah.
We'll post
do you want me to send you? Yeah, I'll send it. I'll copy it from their website and send it to you.
Yeah, and we'll post it on here so people can know what that beautiful little cocktail is to maybe thwart away the virus. Because like anybody else, I did that thing where I was like, you know, what if I'm like immune, or what if I'm if I've already been through it, or so many people, that's the most annoying thing when somebody goes, I think I already had it. It's like, oh,
so many people say that.
Shut
it's,
up.
It's too much. It's too much, right?
Well, then go get tested and find out if you already had it. I don't like when people
say, I would say 99 out of 100 people I've heard that story are negative antibodies.
Right.
I'm trying to find our propaganda. I'm going to get it
Well, get it for me. And let me ask you one more thing about about the antibodies thing. What's your advice? Let's say I'm through this and very soon, and I'm hopefully I test negative. Do you think it is in my best interest to go give plasma and stuff like that? Is that?
Oh, it's not in your best interest. It's in the best interest of the
public. That's what I mean.
If you can, please do.
Yeah, I think I will. If I can, I will, because I think I saw a friend of a friend do it.
You watch and you don't see if you start to feel better with all the stigma and shame and all this stuff. Being of service, turn it right around.
Right. It's going to make me feel much better.
It will.
I know. I imagine. It's just hard to get through it when you're in it. It sucks. I will say that. For people that are listening that are thinking about it, obviously I don't want to create fear or panic. I just want to tell people my side of it. And just know that it sucks, staying positive is important.
You know? I had H1N1. This shit nearly killed me. It was really, I couldn't even watch TV. That was too much work.
Yeah, the swine flu. It was swine flu, right?
Yeah, yeah. It was horrible. Oh my God, was that horrible.
How long did you have it for?
I was sick for about 3 weeks. That was the 2009 pandemic. And I'm certain I was in a cytokine storm. We just didn't talk about it that way back then. But I kept calling this infectious disease friend of mine going, I am so toxic. this doesn't seem right to me. This seems, I'm too sick.
Right.
This is crazy.
Well, did it come with other complications as far, like, did you have breathing issues and all that stuff or no?
Everything. It was just terrible.
Wow.
It was really horrible. And my dog says it's horrible.
Oh, hey, pup. And then, let me ask you that. That's one more thing. Should I not be around my dog because of this thing?
Yeah, I talked to a veterinarian about it, and they can be colonized by the virus, but they don't seem to contract it or spread it. So it doesn't seem to matter.
That's awesome.
So that's the veterinary position. At this point, it's how many days you contracted it? How long ago?
Well, that's what's strange, right? I was with him just over 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, so you should be done. You don't have to worry about anything, essentially, at this point.
Okay. I mean,
it's either two weeks from first symptoms. First symptoms, really. So probably 3 days after that, right? You got symptoms?
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe 3 more days before you really are out of the woods. Or 3 days after conclusion of, fever, essentially. But 2 weeks is the safe.
I never cracked a fever, thank God. I was very happy about that. In fact, I run so low. My temperature is always at like 97.2 or something like that. Or I don't even know, 97, something like that. So, the dog thing, because, I've been playing with my dog, and I also, we open mouth kiss, my dog and I, obviously. And,
obviously.
I'm white. And no, but I've been playing with the dog, and I read some nonsense online that was like, the dogs can communicate the virus to other people. So it
Yeah, there's been worry about that, but everything I checked doesn't suggest that's the case.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's not conclusive. Just there's no evidence that I'm aware of that it does.
Well, I'm happy because the dog has been genuinely a source of my happiness. Because when you're bummed out, dude, and they just look at you and they don't care, and you're like, I'll pick up your shit because I love you so much. Like it's fine. And which I do for the same for my wife around the house. She poops around the house, and I'll pick it up too.
Well, who doesn't? Who doesn't? Part of being a husband.
We end this episode the way that we end every episode. You look in the camera and you say one word or one phrase to close us out. I'm going to walk away, and you do it when I am off camera to close out the episode. So when you're ready.
And give me a little bit of guidance. Is it something? Is it for you or the general listener?
Well, last time you said something very profound and sweet. I think it's for the people. Go ahead and say it for the people.
Yeah. Go ahead. One word. The one word I would say is perseverance. Persevere, buddy. We're gonna get through this. But the other word I would look for is unity. We need to bring it together. We need to find common purpose, common principles, and let's get there. Let's get there. Let's not fall apart. Let's stay together.
In here, we pour whiskey.
Creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy and ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers are hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.